Welcome to Business English Pod, a great way to improve your English skills on the go.
Interviewing in English. Interviewing is an important task that shows your ability to ask relevant questions and identify key skills in prospective employees. Conducting an interview efficiently is a critical task, since hiring the wrong person can cost your company a lot of time and money. Often there are standard interview styles and formats which can be used to conduct interviews, but you should also remember that conversation is spontaneous and can lead in different directions. It is always better to think ahead and to prepare questions for different scenarios. Some key points to remember are: keep an interviewee's details in mind and ask questions that are relevant to their backgrounds and qualifications, and that are built around the job description. Remain friendly and alert at all times. Keep your tone pleasant and interested, but impersonal. Use keywords and phrases from the interviewee's responses to lead the conversation forward. Remember that body language and visual cues are often as important as what is said. Examine the interviewee's resume carefully to ensure that you ask relevant questions. Take brief notes on the candidate's responses so that you don't forget anything important that they have said. Don't ask leading questions that give away the answers. In this lesson, we will look at the many types of questions you can ask while interviewing someone. Some questions are open-ended and others are close-ended, and there are a number of categories of questions, such as past performance questions, negative balance questions, and judgment call questions. A successful interview is one that combines different types of questions to get comprehensive information from the person being interviewed and that assess the job applicant's capabilities effectively. You will now listen to an extract from an interview between Lila, an HR manager at an investment bank, and Edgar, who has applied for a position at the company.
That's pretty interesting. How about a time when things didn't work out so well? Was there ever such an occasion?
Well, I do remember this time when I was a research editor and a set of documents from the analysts was delayed. The whole project deadline had to be postponed.
And how did you handle the situation?
There wasn't much we could do since the editorial team was completely separate from the analysts' team.
I see. What would you do if a key person on your team had to go on emergency leave on the eve of a deadline?
Well, I suppose I'd distribute the work among the rest of the team.
That could certainly be done. Could you describe what your experience in managing a team has been like?
Well, it's been a learning experience. I've enjoyed assigning tasks and finding the best ways to ensure that everything gets done the way it should.
Is it something you see yourself doing after the next 5 years as well?
Well, I'm not sure. I think I'd like to move into the research division in a few years' time.
Are there any particular reasons for that?
Essentially, it's because I'm qualified to work as an analyst as well, and I'd like to move into full-fledged research at some point, since there's only so much that one can do with the editorial aspect of the job.
So you're saying that a research editor's position doesn't really appeal to you anymore?
Not at all. I think I still have a lot more potential for growth in this area.
How do you mean? Could you give me an example of an area in which you'd like to improve your skills?
Well, I'd like exposure to different kinds of software that can be used for report layouts.
That can certainly be a practical goal. What about in terms of your skills?
Yes, I think I'd also like to take a shot at managing a larger team, or more than one department at a time.
During the interview you just heard, we see that Lila asks Edgar questions of different types to ensure that she manages the interview efficiently. Let's look at how she does this. Lila's first question in this extract is related to a time when Edgar had a negative experience at work. She asks,
"That's pretty interesting. How about a time when things didn't work out so well? Was there ever such an occasion?"
This kind of question is a past performance question, which you can ask the interviewee to get information about their past experiences at work. Note that past performance questions are relevant only if they help you understand the other person's ability to do their job, or if they help you to identify patterns of behavior that might be important to the job they have applied for. After Edgar's response,
we see that Lila asks a few brief follow-up questions by saying, "And how did you handle the situation?" The interviewee may be encouraged to provide more information by asking an open-ended question like this one. Let's listen again to the next exchange between Lila and Edgar, which provides examples of two different kinds of questions.
What would you do if a key person on your team had to go on emergency leave on the eve of a deadline?
Well, I suppose I'd distribute the work among the rest of the team.
That could certainly be done. Could you describe what your experience in managing a team has been like?
Lila's first question in this exchange is what we call a judgment call question. A judgment call question gives the other person an imaginary situation so that you can find out how well they can make decisions. Remember to keep your judgment call questions focused on practical and realistic situations. When Edgar gives his response, Lila then asks a related open-ended question to take the conversation forward. Note that you should try and keep your questions related to the flow of the conversation. Lila's next question is an example of a close-ended question. She asks,
"Is it something you see yourself doing after the next 5 years as well?"
A close-ended question is one that the other person can answer by saying yes or no. Such questions are not used very often, since they do not encourage the interviewee to speak, but they can be very useful when you want to verify information quickly. Next, Lila does something important. She repeats something Edgar has said in a way that leads him to explain what he meant. Let's listen again to how she does that. "I think I'd like to move into the research division in a few years' time."
Are there any particular reasons for that?
"Essentially, it's because I'm qualified to work as an analyst as well, and I'd like to move into full-fledged research at some point, since there's only so much that one can do with the editorial aspect of the job."
So you're saying that a research editor's position doesn't really appeal to you anymore?
Note that Edgar has not said directly that a research editor's position does not appeal to him anymore, but he suggests it by saying that he would like to try something else in the future. Lila is quick to pick up on this and restate what he has said in a way that prompts him to tell her more about his goals. This technique is called a mirror statement or question, and is often used to clarify the other person's point of view and encourage or even challenge them into explaining what they meant. Lila then reverts to a standard open-ended question to continue the interview by asking, "Could you give me an example of an area in which you'd like to improve your skills?" You will now listen to an extract from an interview between Jack, a line manager in charge of quality assurance at a car manufacturing firm, and Michelle, who has applied for a post as a design engineer at Jack's company.
"You were a designer at the Royce Group for 6 years, weren't you?"
"That's right."
"Was there any particular reason that you left?"
"Quite a common one, I'm afraid. I was relocating to London."
"I see. Was your job description there similar to what I outlined for you?"
"Quite similar. The only difference here is that I'll be directly involved in quality assurance as well."
"Has any of your past experience prepared you for that aspect of the job?"
"Well, we did have ongoing Q&A sessions at Royce to give us an idea of the concerns in that area."
"Excellent. Can you recall any incident in particular when you had to make a critical decision? And what helped you to do so?"
"There was this one time when we had a choice of two very different safety systems for a new model, a new one and a standard one. I made the choice to go with the standard design because I knew it was reliable."
"And how did that work out?"
"The model sold very well. One of Royce's most popular cars, in fact."
"Great. Was there a time when you felt you could have done better at something?"
"Well, there was another design my team worked on that I wasn't completely happy with, because I felt the market wasn't ready for it. But it worked out well enough."
"I'm happy to hear that. I'm curious to know what you'd do if you had to make a choice between a classic design and an innovative one, assuming there were no critical differences in performance standards."
"I suppose I would examine the market trends first, and see if I could determine which one was likely to sell better."
"And if the market analysis showed no real difference?"
"Difficult to decide, really, but I guess I'd go with the classic design."
In this extract from the interview, we see that Jack, as a line manager, focuses largely on questions relating directly to the job description. Jack begins with a standard close-ended question by asking,
"You were a designer at the Royce Group for 6 years, weren't you?"
Jack's intent here is not only to verify information, but also to prepare Michelle for his next question, which is an open-ended one about why she chose to resign from her previous position. He does this by asking, "Was there any particular reason that you left?" He could also have put the question differently by saying, "I'm curious about why you left." Jack then moves on to an open-ended past performance question that is related directly to the position that Michelle has applied for. He asks,
"Was your job description there similar to what I outlined for you?"
It is usually a line manager's task to introduce job descriptions to applicants and train them after they are hired. So Jack's question tells us that he has already briefly outlined the job description for Michelle. Jack then uses Michelle's response to ask another past performance question. Let's listen to that exchange again.
"Was your job description there similar to what I outlined for you?"
"Quite similar. The only difference here is that I'll be directly involved in quality assurance as well."
"Has any of your past experience prepared you for that aspect of the job?"
Since the role that Michelle has applied for at Jack's firm involves something different from what she has done before, Jack uses his past performance question to check if she can tell him more about whether she is qualified for the task. Once she confirms that she has had some exposure to the subject, Jack steers the conversation back to practical skills by asking her for a specific example. Let's listen again to how he does that.
"Can you recall any incident in particular when you had to make a critical decision? And what helped you to do so?"
"There was this one time when we had a choice of two very different safety systems for a new model, a new one and a standard one. I made the choice to go with the standard design because I knew it was reliable."
"And how did that work out?"
Here we see that Jack not only asks for an example of something at Michelle's previous job, but also asks a quick follow-up question to get an accurate picture of what she has said. By asking, "And how did that work out?" he shows that he wants to know if Michelle's decision led to a positive result. Michelle then establishes that a critical decision that she made did lead to a positive outcome. She says, "The model sold very well, one of Royce's most popular cars, in fact." When the interviewee is talking about their strengths or something positive that they have achieved in the past, this can sometimes lead to what we call a halo effect. It creates a positive glow around the applicant that indicates that they are the perfect employee. This is a good time to ask a negative balance question. A negative balance question is about the person's weaknesses or past mistakes. It is not meant to pressure the interviewee or make them uncomfortable, but rather to balance out their past achievements with a quick discussion on areas or skills which they feel they can improve upon. Jack introduces his negative balance question here by asking,
"Was there a time when you felt you could have done better at something?"
Jack could also have phrased the question differently by asking, "Can you describe something that you feel is a weakness or an area where you feel you can improve?" A more direct way of asking such a question would be something like, "Were you ever criticized by your manager, and how did that make you feel?" Negative balance questions seldom get absolutely direct responses from interviewees, since they are most likely to describe a weakness that can be seen as a strength as well. It's best not to ask more than one or two such questions, and to use them only to restore a sense of balance and avoid creating the halo effect. Jack then moves on to a basic judgment call question when he asks about Michelle's decision-making abilities. He says,
"I'm curious to know what you'd do if you had to make a choice between a classic design and an innovative one, assuming there were no critical differences in performance standards."
Note that Jack's question shows that he is a keen listener, since Michelle has mentioned earlier that she chose a conventional design over an innovative one. So Jack asks his question not only to get to know about Michelle's ability to make choices, but also to find out if there are behavioral patterns in the way she thinks. In this lesson, we saw that there are many different kinds of questions that interviewers can ask. Most questions are open-ended, and the usual formats that are used include past performance questions and judgment call questions. Mirror statements and negative balance questions can also be used to good effect to test the interviewee
and encourage them to give you more information or explanations.
That's all for this Business English Podcast lesson. We hope you enjoyed listening. Business English Podcast is part of Workplace English Training e-magazine. To access the podcast transcript for this and other Business English Podcast lessons, you'll need to subscribe to Workplace English Training e-magazine at www.workplace-english-training.com. Workplace English Training e-magazine is a monthly interactive online magazine focusing on all aspects of business English training. It is suitable for pre-intermediate to advanced level learners. Each issue of the e-magazine is packed with interactive lessons to help you improve your business writing, speaking, listening, and vocabulary. Learning is challenging yet fun. Here's that subscription address once again: www.workplace-english-training.com.